Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I am in Belfast, and I am sitting in the office of David Gavahan, who is the Chief Executive Officer of, indeed, the Titanic Quarter. And David, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much. It's really great to be with you here in Belfast.
Now, we have the Belfast Titanic Quarter, we have the Titanic Center, and we, of course, have Titanic Belfast itself. What is the major body to encompass all three?
The company that's transforming Titanic Quarter is actually called Titanic Quarter Limited. It's owned by two individuals. One is Pat Doherty, who is the principal developer, and the second is Dermot Desmond, who has a strong reputation in terms of the Financial Services Centre in Dublin. Pat has been at the heart of the redevelopment of Titanic Quarter over the last 10 years, and it was his inspiration that looked at, with the help of Eric Kuhn and a number of other people, how to transform this derelict site that had been at the heart of the shipbuilding industry and had been at the forefront of industrial Belfast, maritime Belfast. So Pat took over the ownership of the company with Dermot back in 2004, and since then they've set about with real vision and vigour to transform what's taking place here.
Okay, now enter you into this. When did you start?
I started just over a year ago in my role as Chief Executive of Titanic Quarter. Previous to that, I worked for the First and Deputy First Minister and was heavily involved in the project that gave rise to Titanic Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
And at that stage, it was more than just an idea to create a signature project around the Titanic. And so I was very much involved in taking the project from a concept to a reality, working with the public sector and then the private sector.
Infrastructure, investment, your background?
My background is actually in project finance.
Yes.
And I came to Northern Ireland in 2004 to help the transformation of the infrastructure program across Northern Ireland.
Right. And you were CEO of, indeed, Ireland's Strategic Investment Board.
That's right.
No small job at the time. Now, for years, and if not for decades, there were many sometimes hush-hush plans for Belfast, for the Titanic area center, and it got pretty much to the point where many felt that this was being shelved because of the enormity of the project.
I think there was always this daunting sense of what would we do to recognize the centenary of the Titanic. From a project management point of view, which is my skill set, I felt this was a wonderful opportunity on the basis that there was a coalition of a group of people wanting to see something happen. We had a date certain.
Mm-hmm.
Many projects are fraught because they get postponed to postpone. The benefit of this project is we had a specific date, the 14th of April 2012, and we knew we had to have a building and something to celebrate. And that created a very, very good context for making the project happen. And then, together with a huge amount of political support, as well as support from Pat and Dermot, as well as the Harbour Commissioners of the City Council, we were able to give rise to this incredible project. But it was very much in the context of a broader arena of what we were trying to do in Titanic Quarter more generally.
Now, when people ask you, well, what is it, what exists and where are you going?
The totality of Titanic Quarter today is we have about 1,000 people living here in 474 exclusive residences. We also have, across Queen's Island, in which Titanic Quarter is the principal land, we have about 5,000 people working here. We have 15,000 students here. And obviously, in the first year of Titanic Belfast opening, nearly 1 million visitors. In the next 10 years, I believe fundamentally we'll transform the momentum here to probably more than 2 million visitors, 10,000 people living here, and 30,000 people working here. Currently, we've invested, through a combination of private money and public money, about £300 million. I think over the next 10 to 15 years, we'll see that significantly multiplied to a factor of probably 10 times that, and we'll see a huge transformation, not just in Titanic Quarter, but in the resurgence of Belfast. And we'll see Belfast grow again from a city that used to be nearly 500,000 people, had fallen to almost 250,000 people, and we're beginning to see that change again. So we'll see a much bigger Belfast, a much greater Belfast, a Belfast that's comfortable with itself, and a city that will stand very much on a parallel with Dublin, so that the Eastern Corridor will become a key part of the strategy of creating wealth and a future for people on the island of Ireland.
In addition to the 1 million people, which is phenomenal, considering we're only talking about a little bit more than a year of operation, you have cruise lines and cruise ships coming into Belfast. There are even further plans. There was, we spoke with the Harbour Commission and the Harbour Commissioners. This entire area is being revitalized.
Completely. I think everybody is really understanding the potential and the excitement of what exists here. I sadly haven't been to the Guggenheim, but I have been to other parts of the world, and certainly I think this building represents, and what we're doing here in Titanic Quarter collectively with Judith and Tim and the Harbour Commissioners and with the City Council and with Central Government, there's a real sense of momentum, and I think we've got huge opportunities to make the city work.
You mentioned the magic figure there of planning on 30,000 or 30,000 employees in a relatively short period of time, which actually would bring this area to what it had been during the period with Harland and Wolff being the major employer in Northern Ireland.
Absolutely. I mean, there are two interesting socioeconomic factors that I think are worth sort of thinking about in terms of the history and where we're going. There's a picture which you probably saw in the exhibition, which we have in our office. The shipyard workers were almost entirely male.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they tend to be younger rather than older. So I think one of the great changes that we'll see here in terms of 30,000 is there'll be a complete gender equality, I hope, broadly.
Right.
I think that's the first thing. The second
now,
thing,
we might quickly add this to that, though, as a part of that 30,000, that the women folk were not sitting idly at home.
Not at all. They were working in the linen mills.
And
but they weren't here in the shipyard,
yes.
Which is the sort of interesting point. The second thing, which I think is probably more exciting, is the average wage in Northern Ireland is probably around 18,000 to 20,000.
Yes.
The average wage in Belfast is around 25 to 27,500. What we're beginning to see is the prospect of actually significantly increasing the average wage. The workers that are now in Titanic Quarter are all in a value-added proposition. And so if you look at what City is doing and what's going on in the sales part, what's happening in the creative media sector, we can see this significantly, the potential to significantly enhance the earnings of the people. And that's a big opportunity for us all. We're now competing in a global marketplace, and I think we've got a real opportunity to create high value-added income jobs, as well as actually in the leisure industry and across everything we're trying to do, really the whole spectrum of economic activity. And I just made that point because I think that's part of the excitement of what's going on here.
And obviously the growth in inward investments into Belfast, Belfast in particular, but into Northern Ireland in general, has never been more significant or more important.
Absolutely. And, I think if you look across the world, we are now competing in the global market, and it's up to us to present ourselves in the best possible light.
Many people we've met on this trip bemoan the fact that actually shipbuilding, this being the shipbuilding capital of the world 100 years ago, that most of that has gone, on to places like China and to other places around the world, and that actually the quality of the ships today, like the quality of many other manufactured products, is not built to last. Is there a general sense, or is there a feeling that quantity in shipping seems to be the primary motivation rather than the building the type of ships that White Star produced in the first place?
I'm probably not qualified to comment, but the person who runs the science park, Norman Apsley, makes a very interesting comment. I think at the heart of what happened in the shipyard was about engineering prowess. And Norman Apsley says that he fundamentally believes, he himself is a physicist by background, fundamentally believes that the DNA of that engineering prowess still exists in the minds and people of the students who come out of Queen's and the University of Ulster. And what's happening in the science park is incredibly exciting. Mm-hmm. Some of their developments are at the forefront of modern technology and thinking. So, for instance, in cyberspace security, we have one of the top professors in the world who are looking at the whole issue of cyberspace security. Equally, in financial services, often we are portrayed as providing a back office environment for financial service institutions. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's not in that area. It's in the area of software development. And so that inherently in a lot of young people in Belfast and in Northern Ireland, there's still a great pride around engineering, understanding and power.
Right.
And it's that that's in the DNA, and that's what we're unlocking through the development of Titanic Quarter and other parts of Northern Ireland.
You also think that that's perhaps why there is a tremendous upsurge in student activity, and indeed for many who perhaps may not have looked at Belfast as such a centre of excellence in engineering and in related areas.
Absolutely. I mean, interestingly, Declan Kelly was one of the people who pointed out during his time here that 40% of our population are under age 25. I think one of the things that which we don't sufficiently capture is that youth that's at the heart of the future of Belfast. It is an incredibly youthful city, and I think that's part of our huge opportunity in selling ourselves globally.
Well, we're here at the invitation, of course, of somebody who is probably prouder of Belfast than anybody else who could possibly meet, and of course, the Lord Mayor, Máirtín Ó Maolaodha, and that's where we previously met, went with his Belfast, New York trade conference, and there we actually met such a diverse group of people, many of whom are just beginning to suss out what Belfast was all about.
Yeah.
And now, what major changes have you seen in your relatively short time living in Belfast?
Well, I've actually been here now nearly 10 years. I think we now have a city that one believes it is on the precipice of significant change. I think the Titanic Belfast has really made us see Belfast in a new light. So I think that's the most significant change since I've been here. But I think it's also a city that is beginning to feel more comfortable, having the benefit of 15 years under the Good Friday Agreement. I think we're also attracting people from across the globe. And I think the sense of momentum, notwithstanding the significant financial recession, I see the next 5 years as the most positive light, and I think a lot of young people equally do.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for your tour and for your big thought to Belfast and obviously to the Titanic Quarter, Titanic Belfast, Titanic Centre, all of it. It's massive. And you still have, as we look from your window here, you still have quite a bit of vacant land, and I'm sure that as you and others are around, that there is you're not fully booked out yet.
No, we've got lots of potential for people to come and join us, and thank you very much for the conversation we've had today.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.